Earlier this month, United Airlines triggered a wave of nostalgia when it announced it would buy 15 supersonic jets, a throwback to the days of the Concorde, when New York to London took just 3 hours. Here's a promise from a British Airways ad in 1976.
The world is about to become a smaller place.
But sonic booms, safety, and environmental concerns grounded commercial supersonic flight. And today, U.S. companies that are intent on bringing it back say they've addressed some of those issues. David Schneider from IEEE Spectrum reports.
In 1947, test pilot Chuck Yeager made history when he broke the sound barrier in the Bell X-1, an experimental rocket plane. Next year, another test pilot will exceed the speed of sound in another experimental plane, NASA's X-59 Quest. Quest being shorthand for quiet supersonic technology.
Well, I used to joke that the airplane looked like an F-16 on steroids, but it's a long airplane. I think it's around 97 feet long.
That's NASA's Dave Richwine, Deputy Project Manager for Technology on the X-59.
And the length is used to manage this the sonic boom signature.
Manage the sonic boom signature is engineer speak for making the boom, well, less boomy. Take a listen to an unmanaged sonic boom. This one from the Space Shuttle Discovery on its way to a landing, when it was something like 45 miles away and way up in the stratosphere.
And the viewers at Edwards Air Force Base have just heard the double sonic booms as Discovery passes over.
Okay, that might not sound so terrible on the radio, but a real sonic boom, which is felt as much as it's heard, is far worse. Sonic boom expert Dominic Maglieri described an experiment carried out over Oklahoma City in 1964. It was meant to gauge whether people would tolerate that much noise from the sky.
It was 6 months worth of booms, 8 booms a day. I had it on Sundays, holidays, snow, rain, whatever. Pretty soon, they were getting thousands of calls and complaints.
But Vic Sparrow, a professor of acoustics at Penn State, says the booms don't have to be so annoying.
It turns out that most of the interest over the last 10, 15 years in sonic boom technology has had to do with aircraft shaping and trying to figure out how you could make an aircraft so instead of making an abrupt boom, boom kind of sonic boom is heard on the ground, that it would be more of a thump, thump.
Sparrow is describing a strategy being used on NASA's X-59. It's being pursued, too, by a Boston-based startup called Spike Aerospace, which plans to build a supersonic jet that can transport up to 18 passengers. But the major player in this space is a Colorado-based company that goes, fittingly, by the name Boom Supersonic. Later this year, it will test a scaled-down prototype of a supersonic airliner it has on the drawing board for 2029. United Airlines intends to buy 15 of these planes and has an option for 35 more. United and Boom both say that these aircraft will fly sustainably.
Our first supersonic commercial airplane, Overture, is designed to facilitate net zero carbon travel.
That's Blake Scholl, founder and chief executive officer for Boom Supersonic, testifying before a House subcommittee on aviation in late April.
Sustainable aviation fuels, or SAF, are key to Overture sustainability. And we're designing Overture from the ground up to run on 100% SAF, enabling net zero carbon flight.
There's a couple of problems with this logic.
That's Dan Rutherford of the International Council on Clean Transportation.
Once the plane is out the door, there's very little control that a manufacturer has over what fuel is used. The supplies of alternative jet fuels are very, very small right now. The costs are quite high. And so you start to kind of put together the pieces and, you know, 5 to 7 times as fuel intensive, using fuel that is at a minimum 3 to 4 times as expensive as fossil jet. You start to have such high operating costs for those planes that it's very difficult to see them succeed in the market.
And Rutherford says eliminating just the carbon emissions is not enough.
If you look at the other emissions from supersonics that also warm the planet, these are the nitrogen oxides, the particulate matter, and the water vapor. For a supersonic operating in the stratosphere, those could be even worse for the climate, on the order of 20 times or more.
But Michael Leskinen, Vice President of Corporate Development at United Airlines, says his company is ready for these challenges.
Look, we're committed to being 100% green, and that's across the spectrum of impacts that our aircraft have, and that'll be no different for Overture than it is for any other aircraft we choose to operate.
A half century ago, the U.S. looked at the environmental problems that supersonic transport aircraft posed. In the end, the government banned supersonic flight over land and decided not to pursue a supersonic airliner. European leaders, on the other hand, backed the development of the Concorde. But that plane ultimately proved a flop in the marketplace, making its last flight in 2003. Now it seems another generation of supersonic travel enthusiasts are once again grappling with these very same issues. For Here and Now, I'm David Schneider.